Hollywood is currently on pause due to the double writers and actors strike that the industry hasn't seen since 1960. The Writers Guild of America first walked out on May the 2nd. The Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Arts, joined the strike on July 14th. Both parties are demanding increase of base pay and residuals from streaming services and reassurance that their work will not be replaced by artificial intelligence. The strikes are currently disrupting many US productions and now can have the potential to disrupt Australian productions. To discuss, we're joined by Dr. Andrew Lynch, a cinema and screen studies lecturer in the Department of Media and Communications at Swinburne University. Good morning, thanks for joining me on The Record.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So what are the main reasons behind this strike?
So it's a little bit different for, I guess, the two large unions involved, which of course is the Actors Guild of Hollywood, SAG-AFTRA, and obviously the WGA, the Writers Guild of America. But both of them are fixed on, I guess, disruptive new technologies and what these unions and the members that they represent are worried that this could mean for, like, labour relations. So the two main things are streaming and AI, both of which have obviously affected, you know, everyone's lives to some degree. AI, of course, is newer and we're still getting a handle on what it could be used for. The idea is that, you know, actors, although this is very future-looking, are kind of concerned that maybe one day in the future, you know, a Hollywood studio could pay an actor just a simple day rate, you know, record their likeness, feed it to some sort of generative AI program, like a, you know, high-tech version of ChatGPT that listeners might be familiar with, and then be able to kind of replicate or mimic their performance or their likeness in future productions without obviously having to go back and hire the actor again. On the other side of the coin, of course, for the writers, they're worried quite understandably about already existing AI like ChatGPT helping to write scripts or do the work that they've long been paid to do. And streaming, of course, as I'm sure we all know, things like Netflix, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime Video, these, I guess they are now both producers and distributors of content. They work in really different business models, subscriptions as opposed to kind of ad sales like broadcast TV. So actors, and of course, you know, we might think of big famous actors like, you know, Brad Pitt or someone like that who have joined the picket lines. But everyday kind of, you know, middle and working class actors who rely on repeat gigs and, of course, what we know as residuals, kind of the money you might get paid if the production that you worked on gets resold somewhere else for a different market or replayed. Those kind of, I guess, smaller payments have essentially disappeared in the age of streaming thanks to new digital distribution and, of course, new contracts.
Yeah, it's been very interesting hearing the stories that are coming for the strike, especially about streaming services, because you would kind of just assume with the thousands of plays these productions, TV shows and movies get, that there would be a fair amount of revenue and royalties for the actors and writers, but not really in reality.
No, I mean, streamers have been, I guess, disruptive to the industry in all sorts of ways. You know, Hollywood initially was interested in pushing back. You know, there were questions about whether Netflix original films that got limited or no theatrical release could be eligible for Academy Awards, things like that. But they've obviously disrupted the business in other ways. So typically the big streamers kind of buy content almost outright, and they have these kind of global distribution contracts. So Netflix, you know, buys your program or they fund your program, and you kind of give over largely most of the power and any kind of future revenue generation in those deals. They are usually better deals on the front end, but there's almost nothing on the back end for people participating in the production of film or TV for streamers like that. They're also pretty opaque, you know, in the same way that we don't really truly know how they're algorithms or recommendation systems work. We're also a bit fuzzy about some of the business models, you know, how these streamers are making money, which ones are, which ones aren't, and you know, how any individual series is actually calculated to be part of the kind of profit making of these global subscription services.
And now going to artificial intelligence, because that's one of the other main things that these strikes are about. Do you believe that writers and actors should be concerned due to the rise of artificial intelligence?
I mean, it's hard to tell. Like generative AI that we've currently got now, which is where you have these algorithms that, you know, they're simple, but they're essentially trained. So you feed them enormous amounts of data. ChatGPT, you know, has kind of devoured a good chunk of the internet, and then they're able to kind of replicate human-like output or kind of natural-sounding speech and, as you say, things like scripts and that. I think the fact, it's less the fact, I think, that, if you play around with ChatGPT yourself at home, you could ask it to write your script. I don't know how good it will be. It will probably sound pretty natural, but, you know, will it be particularly original, inventive, or is that largely down to the prompter, kind of asking for something specific? But I think what writers in particular were really troubled by is the studios and the representative body that the AMPTP, which represents most of the big motion picture and TV producers, they were just really reluctant to kind of, give any ground. So they were pretty much on a stalemate as to whether they would, take AI out of the picture or guarantee that they wouldn't use it to generate entire scripts. So I think maybe what writers are worried about is just the fact that, almost nothing is off the table. So maybe right now, generative AI is not all that much of a threat to writing staff. But I think it's the kind of near or even far future that they're worried about, and that the large bodies seem to be interested in that potential as well. That's probably what scares them the most, quite understandably.
And just looking to Australia, speaking of AI, yesterday the MEAA flagged concerns and is calling for regulatory framework to be developed for the use of AI so it doesn't infringe on copyright and privacy. How soon do you think some of these frameworks can get up and running, not just in Australia, but over in America as well?
I guess it depends whether, it'll be different in different regions, but I suppose it depends whether there's kind of political and regulatory will to actually do much about them. But the tricky thing is AI, and especially generative AI, if we're talking about copyright, and I'm not a copyright lawyer or scholar, so I'm speaking really kind of from the cultural side, they are trained on what is most likely copyrighted material. They kind of gobbled up a whole bunch of the internet. It's not 100% clear what they've been trained on, because that's kind of, I think, proprietary data that these companies are kind of unwilling to share, but they're largely not spitting out. They're not, I think that's one of the things that's been most revolutionary about these new generative AI systems and the kind of language input, the way you can kind of ask them simple questions and they seem to respond quite intuitively, is they're not putting out copyrighted material. They're merely putting out, quote unquote, original material, but they may have been trained on someone else's work. So it's that really tricky line to say, it's not going to be, fully plagiarized by any means. It's going to be kind of original work generated by these algorithms. It's just that its ability to produce that work may have come on the back of, original or copyrighted material. But again, it's all pretty fuzzy and murky at this stage.
You're listening to On the Record. I'm joined by Dr. Andrew Lynch from Swinburne University, and we're discussing the writers and actors strike in Hollywood. Can you see their demands being met anytime soon?
I have no idea how this is going to turn out, and I'm first and foremost a lover of film and TV. So there's dozens of shows and films that I was eagerly anticipating that are going to be pushed down the track. I'd say minimum 6 months to a year, something like The Last of a Season 2, which I'm eagerly anticipating and was just at the stage of, writing and maybe a little pre-production. Halted for now. I can't see who's going to, chicken out first. The big studios seem, unwilling to kind of do anything but keep their options open. But I guess the strike is going to start having more, tangible effects for viewers. So at the moment, no new shows that you're expecting to come out over the past few weeks have been delayed because they're in the can, they're finished, they're ready to go. But it's really going to start to hurt when big streamers and movie studios had plans for things to be released, early next year that are just held up and their release schedules really start to flag, and we actually start to get a sense, which, I mean, in this age of streaming, I haven't felt a lack of content in about 10 years or so. So it's going to be very strange when we start to, I don't know, when the new stream of content starts to run a little dry, and then maybe there'll be a greater degree of pressure. But, you know, more and more recognisable actors and creatives who are kind of those more famous people who are unlikely to be hugely financially affected by all these new disruptions are standing firm as well, with the kind of middle and working class actors, performers and people who kind of rely on their livelihood for the entertainment media business. So if they all stay strong, then I'm hopeful that we can get a resolution to this soon with some kind of fair compensation for those people making the stuff that I know I certainly love to watch.
It definitely has been interesting seeing, like you were saying, some of these bigger name actors also get involved. And we have seen a few productions which, while they have finished filming and for the most part editing, extend and push back their release date. But mm-hmm. just looking to Australia, how could these strikes impact Australian productions?
It's tricky because, you know, as much as we think of, Australia as part of the global kind of production chain, and obviously we have very close cultural ties to the United States, and we love American content, and lots of our, actors and creators from Australia work in the US. The Australian Writers Guild, which obviously looks after writers in Australia, and the Media, Entertainment and Arts Alliance, which is largely actors and crew in Australia, neither of them are on strike. So it's really people who are obviously Australian or working on Australian productions that themselves are part of one of these two unions in the United States. So they are, you know, tools down. Other unions are kind of supportive or showing solidarity, but have not introduced bans themselves. So having said that, you know, things that are shot in Australia, film and TV, often include people from who are SAG-AFTRA members. So I know, for example, a kind of fairly expensive Queensland production called Apples Never Fall, an adaptation of a novel that had Sam Neill and Annette Bening. I know that's shut down for the moment. I'm sure this will occur. I mean, you know, recently Margot Robbie, obviously the star and producer of the smash hit Barbie. She, for example, is a part of SAG, the Screen Actors Guild of America, even though, of course, she's an Australian performer. So she would, of course, likewise be upholding that ban on both actually working on productions, but also promoting them as well. And that's been one of the most, I guess, interesting things is, you know, it's not just the creation of new content, but it's the promotion of kind of already existing and already released content, which is such an important part of kind of the media ecosystem and the promotional ecosystem of Hollywood too. It's been very strange to see, you know, premieres without their stars. I think that's been one of the most visible early kind of outcomes of this ban.
It's a very interesting situation that's going on in America and has been going on for a few months now. Like we said, the writers first walked out on May the 2nd. It'll be interesting to see how it continues over the next few weeks and months. Thank you so much, Dr. Lynch, for joining us on The Record this morning and diving into the situation with us and explaining it to us.